Acts chapter 3, verse 11 through 26. While he, the lame beggar who had just been healed and was now able to walk, clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to hear them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Many of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one. You asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all.
And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all of the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel to those who came after him, also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophet and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So yesterday we looked at the first part of chapter 3. This lame beggar asked John and Peter for a handout. They don't give him a handout, but they do heal him, and he's able to walk. And everyone's astonished. And kind of one of the things we talked about yesterday is how there's this tendency in kind of the Christian healing world of today to have these like superstars that then end up getting rich and getting private jets. And everybody thinks it's so powerful and amazing. Mm-hmm. Yet here's these guys deflecting any attention that they can get from themselves and pointing it toward Jesus. And then telling the people, oh yeah, by the way, this Jesus, you killed him.
Yeah.
You killed the author of life. But he can save you and he can heal you. So really interesting passage.
Yeah, it is.
What are your thoughts on it?
Well, certainly there's something, you know, whenever we read these texts, you know, we have a tendency to view ourselves as and to identify with like the righteous ones
right
in this text. Like, I am so quickly to want to, you know, identify with Peter and John instead of like the
people.
I'm
not the doubter.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's totally not the point. Like, the Bible was not written. Not a story in the Bible is written so that you may be puffed up with righteousness. It's all written so that you may find yourself and see within your own heart the fact that you and I, we are the people who want the physical benefits of God, but maybe want to separate those from what God is ultimately here to do. In other words, a lot of times what we want is a come up. We want, it might not be physical healing, right? But it may be power. It may be money. And when we don't get the kind of power and money that we hope that we would have, or you can, you know, whatever it is that you desire, your tendency can be to be angry at God.
Right.
It can, you know, you can forget what God is actually here to do, which is to fulfill all of the promises made in Abraham in Christ so that we may glorify him, so that our sins may be blotted out. That's what God is here to do, not necessarily to make your life comfortable or to give you the come up that you desire.
But as you are restored to God in Christ, I mean, this is the beauty of the promise. I love this. This is times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Like, we were meant, Blake, you and I, to be in the presence of God, to be the people of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God. And sin has ruined that for us. Our desire for the come up, right, ruins that in us, because we end up rejecting God. We end up going our own way. We end up doing our own kind of thing. We end up seeing the work of the Lord and being skeptical of it. But what Christ has come to do is to restore us into this right order. And that's why I think we talked a little bit yesterday. Why are these apostolic works so important? They're important because they actually are a real and physical and present display of the power of God. But there's also kind of this mythological power to them. Not that they're myth. We believe that they're true. But Jesus is showing, hey, just as this guy who was not, you know, he had this ailment. Yeah. He could not do what legs are designed not to just right. sit there. They're designed to walk. And it was the name of Jesus that restored him. The name of Jesus can restore you also. And your legs may work, but he can restore your soul. He can restore your life to the very presence of God.
Yeah, that's good. And keep in mind, like, this church didn't have the New Testament, right?
Right.
I mean, they didn't have the New Testament. And so what was happening is these people who were commissioned by Jesus himself, the apostles, to go and get to carry his message, to carry the story, and to do his work. They were given this special outpouring of the Holy Spirit to do the things that the Old Testament proclaimed would happen, that the lame would walk and right. the blind would see. And so these people who are going into the temple in the passage ahead of time that are now astonished, right? They're astounded here. They should see, wait a minute, before our very eyes, these men are doing that which was promised in the prophets.
Right.
And then, you know, that's what Peter and John then go on to explain.
It's interesting, you know, the New Testament likes this idea of Jesus being the offspring of Abraham, not the offsprings of Abraham, right? It's when you read, in your offspring shall all the world be blessed, you know, the natural reading of that, I think, might be to read offspring there as plural.
Right.
But I think the New Testament keeps correcting us. No, no, no. There's one offspring that really blesses the whole world, and it's Jesus. Now, those who are in Christ, right, like you and me, can actually be a part of that blessing being spread throughout the whole world. But the blessing comes in the one offspring.
Yeah.
Jesus the Lord.
So, amen.
Well, for Blake Rogers, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737. Or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.